call the work session of the Metro Council for Halloween to order. And the first item of business is the COO communication.
So I have shopping four things today. Okay. I know. It's the last
three plus one.
There we go. First, I just want to make sure I let you know what's the status of the agendas for the upcoming council retreats. So you have retreats scheduled on November 9th and one on the 14th. So one on Thursday, one on the following Tuesday. You should get the materials for those retreats, the ones that we're going to be able to send out in advance. Some materials aren't going to be able to come in advance, but some are this Friday. So I'll send them to you electronically this Friday. So the outcomes for these two retreats are, first, we need to confirm and update your priority projects, both in preparation for the budget process, but also in preparation for the upcoming calendar year, which I'll be here about. We want to confirm your strategy around some of the coalition work that we've been doing around transportation, around parks, and also about housing. And then we want to confirm and raise awareness about some other operational issues that might just have to, that might emerge during the budget process, for example, at the Zoom. I relate to the financial sustainability that they're doing. I think you saw a presentation earlier from Don and Sarah Keene about that, so they want to make sure that you're sort of up to speed on what are the issues that are going to present during the upcoming budget process. So that's the purpose of both retreats. The first retreat is going to be largely about some of the public opinion research that we're in the process of doing right now. And in fact, my second item is to make sure that you saw that Becca sent you an email about a poll we have in the field right now, which is sort of testing public opinion around issues related to transportation, parks, and housing. And so you'll get the results of that public opinion research. And then we'll have refresh on what you've told us in the past about funding, potential funding measures, potential funding conversations, and get some direction with you from you about how you want to keep working on essentially the coalition development work around this issue. So that's the first retreat. The second retreat is the one that we do in preparation for the budget. So we will first review what we did on the 9th, so we're all refreshed as to you just told us what these priorities are. Then we'll look at some of the financial issues that are going on. We'll confirm your key priority initiatives and policy projects. I will also want to relate those back to what you told us on the 9th, so I want to make sure that our policy projects relate to what we're hearing in the coalition universe. If that makes sense at all. And then we'll talk about the budget areas that have a political and policy dynamics, such as policy. So that's the sort of the plan in two parts. Any questions? I think we're at the convention center for both of those. They're both in the afternoon. Okay. If you have questions after the agendas, please let me know. I will be polls in the field, and then a reminder that the Metro all staff is actually this Thursday after your council meeting. Normally, all staffs are at the, in the morning, but this year, the kickoff for our community giving campaign, we're trying something different. And if you have time after council, I urge you to go over because it's going to be a lot of fun. P5 is bringing in Park Oaks High School Marching Band, Grant High School Cheer Squad, to try to make it almost a celebration of public service as opposed to just a meeting. So I hope you have time and stop by also at the convention center. And then last but not least, I'm going to be out of the office Thursday afternoon and Friday on a small mini family trip. Scott Kitchen will be here in my stead on Thursday, and as soon as I know who else is actually in Portland metropolitan area on Friday and Saturday, I'll let you know for the rest of the weekend because it turns out everyone in the universe is traveling to this particular meeting. That's all I have.
Okay. Questions? Let's see. Okay, the work session topic is innovation and investment program proposal.
Services. I'm here today to talk about a concept for helping facilitate innovation and investment in our region's garbage and recycling system to help companies adjust to changing markets or enable the development of new opportunities for our discarded materials to help us reduce the impacts of our waste on our environment and the public's health, to consider opportunities to merge this significant regional industry and source of pride with Metro's important diversity, equity, and inclusion aspirations. The title Innovation and Investment Program Concept is a working title. We think it makes sense. We'll share more with you about that throughout this conversation. With me here today are two solid waste professionals, Matt Korot. You know well Matt directs Metro's Resource Conservation and Recycling Program and serves as the project sponsor for this effort. Next to me is Kevin Six. Kevin has been with Metro for 15 years. He's a CPA and typically oversees our regulatory work, ensuring that we meet our contractual tonnage guarantees, among other things. Kevin is good with money and numbers, and given your interest in the development of this program, Kevin has been on special assignment to research program needs and opportunities and to develop the proposal that we want to share with you today. No surprise at this slide here. No presentation from me would be complete without an important reminder of why Metro actively manages the region's solid waste system. It's much more than just ensuring that materials find their way to a landfill. We operate, educate, legislate, regulate, and strategically plan to ensure that people and the environment are protected. The public receives good value for their money. We keep our commitment to the highest and best use of resources. We're adaptable and responsive in managing materials, and we ensure that services are available to all types of customers. The program we're proposing to you today, if administered thoughtfully and properly, can add important tools to our toolbox to help bring about these benefits. Here's the map that I carried to your offices when we discussed the region's solid waste system. It's not beautiful, but it does the job. It shows transfer stations, material recovery facilities, composters, landfills, and more. It makes everything look easy. But the map misleads. There's a lot it doesn't show. It doesn't show the dynamic nature of the system, the hundreds of vehicles and thousands of workers it takes every day to collect, sort, move, and manage the materials in this system. It also doesn't show the dynamic domestic and global markets that these facilities rely on. Perhaps most misleading of the map is an idea that the system is the result of some grand master plan. It's not. Many of the facilities shown are there because of historical legacy or outdated grid patterns. Land in particular locations was available and perhaps affordable, but that changes as communities grow, as land values increase, as neighborhoods are located near solid waste sites. As a result, the facilities that we rely on to process the region's materials are in some cases one expired lease term, one market shift away from disappearing or severely curtailing. This leads to a lack of certainty in our system. Our region and our programs need system certainty, and we, the regional government, have an opportunity to bring about that system certainty, to encourage new ideas and help innovative new players to build a more resilient system that we're all proud of. You probably recall that we lost a major wood market almost 2 years ago. About half of urban wood has been headed to landfills ever since. You've recently been hearing about threats to the mixed paper and mixed plastics markets. There have been innovations in our system, to be sure, and we are appreciative of the entrepreneurial spirit that many in the business community have shown. We have an innovative plastics recycler here, a one-of-a-kind mattress recycler, consideration of a beer bottle reuse program, self-haul materials recyclers that are highly appreciated by our community, and even Metro's own paint reblender. Many of these innovations can survive long-term by the biggest of companies or with committed public financial support. As staff, we are routinely asked what we can do to financially help new or innovative ideas that don't immediately pay for themselves. I know some of you get these questions as well. That's where this proposal comes in. You directed staff earlier this spring to see what Metro might do to support innovation and new ideas in our solid waste system. We don't necessarily need to support those actions that might happen organically, so to speak, but we might consider, as other jurisdictions do, supporting activities or actions that simply don't or won't occur without some level of public help. Your timing is perfect. With your recently adopted strategic plan to advance racial equity, diversity, and inclusion, plus our departmental efforts to envision our region's waste system for 2030, we appreciate the opportunity to add tools to your toolbox to bring about the public good that our community and you have come to expect of Metro. So as you'll hear from Matt, we're excited about these possibilities and eager to receive your feedback and direction on this effort that urges the needs of our solid waste system and the aspirations of our DEI plan. Thanks for your direction earlier this year, and the feedback will soon be provided. I'd like to turn it over to Matt.
Thank you, Paul. I just want to expand a little bit on what Paul said about the link between the two components of this program. Absolutely, this is a program to help incentivize innovations and improvement in our solid waste system. It is also a great opportunity for us to take steps to implement your racial equity strategy. Our department, like a number of departments at Metro, has a plan. We have a work plan for our implementation of the strategic plan to advance equity, diversity, and inclusion. And this would be one component of our efforts in that regard. What you see on the screen before us are actually the established desired outcomes from our department work plan to advance our equity work. And I just want to cover those quickly and then give some illustrations of how this program, this concept, may fit into that work plan. So first, one of our desired outcomes is to foster economic opportunities in the garbage and recycling system that create jobs and also provide for career entry and advancement, as well as new or expanded business opportunities. The second desired outcome relates to the programs and services that we provide. We want to do that equitably. We want to do that by eliminating barriers to participation by historically underserved low-income and communities of color. Third desired outcome is what historically would be thought of the solid waste system is minimizing negative impacts on the system of the system on the same communities. And then the fourth is what we think is the most exciting inverse of that, which is actually generating community benefits from our solid waste system. And we do that in some ways already, and we think there's lots of opportunities to do more of that in the future. So how might this program help us achieve those desired outcomes? Let me just give a couple of examples. Kevin's going to talk about the different types of grants that are envisioned, and one is a smaller category of grants. And we can see that those smaller grants would support the opportunity for entrepreneurial efforts in areas that might typically involve barriers to entry would be high capital costs. So we might have something in the reuse or the repair side where there's low capital barriers to entry, but a little bit of startup can help get those efforts in place. Following the leadership that's been established by our procurement department, our procurement staff, we can have criteria in these grants that incentivize the hiring of people who are traditionally underrepresented in the workforce in the solid waste field, as well as contracting through the COVID process as well. So we can leverage the money through the grants for these objectives that we have metro-wide. And then, of course, what we would want to be ensuring that any project that we funded advances our efforts in the solid waste system, the garbage and recycling side, our work. While we try and aim for those overall benefits, we could also try and get specific benefits to specific underserved, underrepresented communities through these efforts. So again, that could be through better access to recycling services. That could be through the better access to jobs. That could be through better access to some of these new and exciting things higher up in the hierarchy, like reuse and recycling. So this is one strategy that we'll use to implement our plan to advance our recycling strategy in the agency. I also want to tie this work to one other element. You're all very aware of the regional waste plan work, the work around establishing our 2030 regional waste plan. And we think this program complements the direction that we're already starting to see evolve in the development of this plan. We want to see innovation represented in the 2030 plan. And as many of you know from our engagements already with community-based organizations and their representatives, we've heard from them that it's very important for them for this plan to include how economic opportunities in the solid waste system will be developed, how communities that in the past haven't had economic opportunities in the solid waste system as accessible to them as others can access that system. So this becomes one way for us to really anticipate some of the broader actions that we think will result out of the plan. So Kevin has done a lot of work to come up with what's in the summary sheet before you and what he's going to walk through. Kevin has looked at best practices and programs in our own agency, in the state, and around the country. So he's going to now share some of those best practices that we've learned elsewhere and then walk you through the major components of the proposed concept.
All right. Thank you, Matt. I'd now like to give you an overview of how we developed the program concept and in your packet, and what we did, what we learned, and what we propose, and what we think it'll take to implement. First off, we started reviewing our own records and talking to staff that were involved in previous Metro efforts to do this kind of work. Then we interviewed 8 different entities that play a part in the solid waste system. We chose them to get a representative sampling of the types of businesses that we hope this program would reach. We talked to a large nonprofit involved in reuse. We talked to a smaller volunteer-run organization involved in waste prevention. We talked to a consultant, developer, 3 different recovery facilities, a recycler, and a firm that recovers energy from discards. We went to them and asked them what their current involvement is in the solid region's solid waste system, what and where they saw opportunity. We asked what funding sources were available to them, what they had access to, and what type of financing did they still need or prefer. If they saw opportunities in their sector to increase equity, diversion, opportunities for people of color. And then we also looked at researched other investment programs. Internally, Metro has a number of grant programs in parks, in nature, in zoo, in planning and development, as well as in property and environmental services. We researched other regional programs that offer grants, loans, or other financial assistance, including Oregon DEQ, Business Oregon, Prosper Portland, and the Energy Trust of Oregon. We expanded our research nationally, talking with a dozen other public agencies outside of the region, in states of California, North Carolina, Minnesota, Indiana, and others. In all of this, we're looking at the types of financing that they, or financial assistance that they offer, looking at their staffing requirements, asking what sort of roadblocks they encounter, and what they would change if they had a chance to redo or restart their program. So, from all of this input, we learned some things. From our internal review, we learned that Metro's previous solid waste grant and loan efforts had too much process. There was concerns over the lengthy time it took to get things through. There was also confidentiality risks of bringing business plans before council. And then the need for capital and not loan programs. The business and nonprofits we interviewed, we learned about solid waste system opportunities and needs. They felt the need for large capital projects, some of those in millions of dollars. Most of them have access to loans and investors. However, many of them felt that they needed additional capital for their full financing packages. Most preferred that support for their projects to come in the form of grants. And from researching other programs, we learned that each program seems to have its own unique mixture of grants, loans, or loan guarantees, or some combination of that. We learned that under the right circumstances, there are locally some agencies like Small Business Association, Prosper Portland, Business Oregon, that offer loan programs to local solid waste projects. Now, loan programs require additional financial scrutiny and require specialized skill set to administer. Agencies seem to either be large enough or handle enough of the loans that they're able to handle that in-house, or seem to rely on a sister agency to administer. A couple agencies actually contracted with the local bank to handle that loan program. Metro currently has no loans in place. We're not set up currently to offer these without additional staffing, research, or partnerships. What Metro does have is a process and a framework set up around a lot of providing grants to our region. Most of the grant programs that we looked at seem to be in smaller funding denominations, while the loans seem to focus on larger, more capital improvements in equipment. Many of the programs we research do not have a strong emphasis in advancing diversity, equity, and inclusion. And most of the programs in other regions felt like there was a strong demand for their for investment in solid waste projects. However, they felt like the programs were restrained by small budgets. So now I'd like to go through an overview of what staff is proposing for your consideration. It is an overview. There's a lot of details that will have to be further researched and defined as we move forward, if this is something that you choose to direct. Staff is proposing an initial 3-year program that we would offer grants for nonprofit businesses and nonprofit organizations. For-profit businesses and nonprofit organizations involved in the management of the region's discarded materials. The program's proposal is intended to strengthen our solid waste system and advance Metro's DEI work. Staff proposes to offer up to $3 million a year funded from the solid waste reserve balance. So there would be no direct effect to the regional system fee or excise tax rate. We propose offering 2 grant products. The first, as Matt mentioned, is a more of a general grant in a smaller denominations of between $10,000 and $50,000 each. It would have broader funding parameters, allowing for funding of personnel costs or operations or equipment. It would be a more of an open or rolling program, so we would allow applications to come throughout the year. Metro would then be able to consider those applications every 3 months, as long as there was still funding available. The second product would be the capital product, or grant capital grant, offering grants between $50,000 and $500,000 each. These would focus on larger capital investments in machinery, equipment, capital improvements. It would be more of a competitive process. There would be a defined time period where applications would be selected or submitted, and then the selection process from there. We would also envision that there could be possibly be an additional criterion that could be added in this area that could give priority to applications that address a specific need in the region. Like Paul had mentioned, in wood or plastics, for example. These applications would then be sent to Metro staff for screening for completeness and required eligibility components, where they can be forwarded on to a selection committee, which would review the proposals against the grant criteria. The committee could be structured similar to how other Metro grant committees are set up, chaired by a PES manager. With a mix of public employees working both in and out of solid waste industry, or not industry, but in departments. Included, we'd also have citizen representation, including members from historically underrepresented or underserved communities. And then we would add other specialty expertise as needed. The selection committee would then select the grants awarded and forward the selections to the PES director. The CEO could then issue a 7-day notice to council. This could be modeled after, similarly to the Metro's transit-oriented development 7-day notice you guys are familiar with, where council would have 7 days to request a formal briefing or review on the grant selections. And if there was no request that it be presented to the full council, then the approved recommendations could become final. So staff envisions needing the following to go forward with the program. We'll need code changes to Metro Code 504, which is what some of the former programs were detailed under, to allow for this program and the refreshed focus. A budget amendment to allocate funding for the program. An FTE will need to be required to administer the program. And then additionally, we just need some time to flesh out the program details and program criteria. We anticipate that annually staff can assess the program once it's in place and decide if there's any other further modifications are needed. And then after the 3rd year of the program, we would evaluate the program and council would have the opportunity to determine whether or not to continue with the program. A couple of couple weeks ago, we sent a draft of this proposal to over 50 individuals and organizations to give them a general picture of the program and receive some initial comments that we could incorporate in our work if council asks us to move forward with the development of the program. We received about a dozen comments. They were largely supportive, but understandably included many questions on the program details. Again, the program details and these questions will be addressed as we develop the program. A couple of the respondents felt that the capital grant limit of $500,000 is too low and that it would need to be larger to have real impact on the system. There were some concerns over the DEI aspect. A few felt that it was too prescriptive. There was concerns that some solid waste regional benefits might be lost if the organization did not meet certain requirements. Another felt that it was not prescriptive enough, that real DEI change in the solid waste industry would not happen unless the DEI aspect of the program was a requirement of the grants. A couple of the respondents felt that there was also needed more time to comment. And if we do move forward, there will be further time to an opportunity to comment as we develop the program, both informally with staff as well as formally when the needed code or budget amendments or ordinances are brought to council. So if this program is that's outlined in the draft, however, our presentation is satisfactory to you, then we plan to bring you code changes to 504 by the end of the year and follow up a budget amendment to request to move money from the solid waste reserve funds. Plan to add staffing in early 2018. And then concurrently to all of these, we plan to begin the work of developing the program details, including the selection criteria, the grant requirements, how we plan to protect and monitor the public's investment, grant forms, the publicity, and all of the detail that goes around offering a program. With the final goal of soliciting the first grant applications in late spring 2018. And that brings us to here. Are there questions that we could address?
Councilor Collette.
Thank you.
Sorry, Greg.
Well, $3 million is a big pot of money to be giving away annually. And I mean, I'm sure people in the solid waste industry don't think so, but bigger than our cloud program is too big. Probably the biggest grants program we have. And I see you've done a ton of research. Have you thought about just doing a pilot with a smaller rollout, or you're not committed yet to having to spend $3 million every year? It just seems like that's a big pot of money for what is basically a piloting grant opportunity.
Well, sure. Thank you for that question, Colin. We work with Finance Regulatory Services. We of course don't have to grant outright the full $3 million, but we see that as a regional reasonable benchmark from which to start, knowing that we have this mix of small rolling grants and a few larger ones. There of course is a lot of feedback that's not nearly enough to answer
my next question.
And we heard that feedback internally as we worked on it. We had a lot of experienced staff. We heard that feedback internally. And then we also heard it externally. That's not nearly enough money. It seems about right, and I must be mistaken because I actually thought it was about the same as the Todd program.
It is. Todd can give up to $3 million annually if someone can give that. I'm pretty sure it's
actually
we're
more than
that. We do. Okay, yeah. It's better between two.
So this is the same then. What Kevin has proposed is that we would budget for $3 million per year for up to 3 years, and of course we would give you an annual assessment of how that seems to be working. And we believe that for 3 years we could do it with no increase to the regional system fee access.
Yeah, that's.
Well, so my second question was, I guess, when you talk about these operations equipment versus large capital investments and people thought it wasn't enough money. Can you give me an example of the kind of grant that would have an impact on the system and be in that price range or need maybe more money?
Sure. Certainly, there are recycling facilities that we have visited out of the region, as well as talk to ones here in the region, where they have large capital needs. We don't, for a second, think that $500,000 might purchase everything they need to modernize. You would have questions like, well, is this a matching grant? How much does the business need to put up to receive this? They need to put up three times. They need to put up $2 million to benefit from $500,000. Those are the kinds of details when Kevin says we'd like to work out some specifics that we frankly need to work out. $500,000 max for these large capital grants certainly seems about right to us, and we could be wrong. It could be that it needs to go much higher to materially change for large capital expenditures for businesses. But that's why we think we will assess this each year and provide a report to council on that.
Especially for something like an innovative recycling program that requires specific kinds of equipment, that might be, I guess, under. If the grant is to help kick off that kind of business, then $500,000 might be low.
They may also certainly request one of the smaller rolling grants to prove up a concept.
Yeah.
Once they have more proof of concept and a complete understanding of the scope, schedule, budget, what they want to accomplish, then with more information, bring forward to Metro a request for a larger grant. But again, the $500,000 seems to be a reasonable middle between what we were hearing, which is, are you kidding me? That's an awful lot of money, and that's not nearly enough to make a real change.
I think it's a great idea.
We will get smarter as this rolls out.
Great.
Thank you. It seems to me that the way that the proposal is framed, that the scope of the program would apply to a broad range of different kinds of opportunities. Initially, I was thinking too narrowly. But it looks like this would be open to applications from people who are going to do like advanced material recovery, both in terms of operations and capital, what they would need in capital, but also someone who wanted to get into, as we go forward, more into capture and recovery of organics, someone who wanted to get into the organics processing business. Am I correct in assuming that? And then also, would this maybe even apply to landfill operations for a landfill that, for instance, wanted to expand their energy recovery, that kind of thing? Would it apply to that as well? And can you give it, if yes, if no, tell me. If yes, are there other things that you envision to give people an idea of what the scope of this would be?
Well, we haven't spelled out who's eligible to apply.
Right.
Council Dirksen, you know, we believe at this point, folks that want to be involved in the solid waste system in our region and want to help keep stuff out of landfill or make the most of stuff that otherwise might go to a landfill, if there's some diversity, equity, and inclusion component to what they're proposing, that would probably score the highest.
Sure.
In terms of a proposal that would come to Metro. It doesn't mean that...
It doesn't preclude that.
It doesn't mean that absent those components, they couldn't apply. That's the piece where we're trying to find what's the smartest way to merge the regional waste plan goals and what we're trying to accomplish here in this region with your strategic plan to advance racial equity, diversity, and inclusion, and really our DEI aspirations as an agency. I've talked to many businesses in our region, and there's not a single one that I've talked to that I wouldn't say shouldn't consider themselves eligible to apply to this. One quick example I'll give to you is it seems that during times of crisis, one shortcoming of our regional system is qualified commercial truck drivers. And we all compete for the same qualified commercial truck drivers. There's not an active training program that seems to be able to find enough of them. Now, this is a nationwide problem. It's not just localized here to us. I've also invested a lot of time with SEI and other organizations such as that, and they say we'd love to find jobs like that, but we can't reach our members and convince them that driving long-haul trucks for a living is a good job. So maybe there's an educational component there. Maybe
I actually thought about becoming qualified myself.
Okay.
Seems I'm feeling it so
well. Yeah. But that is a good example where all of us say, wow, this is a real problem. But we, at least we as the regional government, have not done anything to help resolve that issue. So.
Thank you. And part of the educational component of that.
Councilor Arrington.
So I think this is a really great start, but I think it needs more work, certainly before I'm ready to give a thumbs up. And I think Councilor Collette made a really good point about the impact on the system. So we've heard a lot today, and in the packet there's information about how, but really not enough about what is it at a high level we're trying to accomplish. The original goal statement is, okay, it's a good 50,000-foot level, but it's missing a lot until you get to your 10,000-foot how. And there's a big space in there, and I think we need to do some more work on that. Some of the biggest problems that I see where we want to make change and have an impact on the system are some of the items that you've mentioned already. And we have a big problem with, we've got a community of folks with a great ethos for collecting plastics, but we don't have the processing capability in our region or in our state, or we're lacking in our nation for actually using that material and keeping it out of a landfill. I think that is a big area that we need to do something about. Then the wood waste problem that you've talked about is another big one. And I think we need to put more around that. You know, you've looked into the TOD program. That's great, but that program's been going on for more than a decade, okay? And it's gone through multiple iterations of a strategic plan. The regional waste plan is not the equivalent of the strategic plan for TOD. So there's some work, real work here that needs to be done before I'm going to be comfortable with this. But you're on a great track. You know, I want you to feel good about that, but there's just another round of this that I think we need to go through. The system that you have as well for soliciting grants sounded like you were describing two different systems, one that's on a rolling basis and another one that's on a set time frame basis. But your material is really pretty vague about that, and I think that needs some more flesh and bones on it. The processes that we started during my time for things like the Natural Areas Capital Grants Program and then utilizing of the equitable housing as part of the 2040 Planning and Development Grants. We've used the word pilot a lot. I think that's one that I would really urge you to use on this, and that there's more work to be done on setting up criteria that we have a role in approving, because at the end of the day, you're going to get smarter, as you mentioned, but the council is going to be held accountable. And I think that's been pushed too far aside. The 7-day notice, to me, is a system that isn't working well now, because we get a lot of 7-day notices with regard to sponsorships, because word's gotten around, well, Metro's a bank, you know. You got a need for some kind of community event, go ask for a sponsorship. And we're getting tons of emails about that. We, counselors, I mean. And so it's really hard to differentiate between that and the TOD 7-day notices, and now you're going to add to that. I mean, this is the public's money. So I think there's more to it. I think that there needs to be a committed annual report. The TOD program gives us one. It's not always annual, but it's pretty good and gives us a lay of the land in terms of how do these last rounds or two relate to the overall regional investment and realizing the 2040 growth concept, right? That's the guiding light, realizing the 2040 growth concepts and taking advantage of that for high-capacity transit. investment. So I think there's more flesh on those bones, and I think we need to at least get some flesh on these good bones that you've given us in order to move forward. I do know some things I'm not interested in, but the level of information that has been provided, written and verbal, leaves me thinking that some folks might see this as an opportunity. Based on the category that you have for operations, equipment, and personnel, 10K to 50K, I don't think we want to be in the business of supporting all kinds of, you know, appliance repair or other sort of cottage industry like that. But the information you've given us, would those be useful to some folks in the market? Sure. But would it have an impact on the system? Not necessarily. So that's where I think there's more work that needs to be done here to differentiate that. And then in your written material on DEI, you state it as a standalone program objective. And I don't think that's what we're looking for necessarily. While it does say in the solid waste system, what I thought we gave direction to is adopting the strategy and applying it to all of our programs, is where we have money for investments, there is always a DEI component to it. So we don't have a category that says just bring us your DEI ideas in the solid waste industry. We want to see changes in the overall system. So there's a fine point there that I think is missing for at least this pilot. It may evolve into that, but I think for this pilot. I also wasn't sure why you chose $3 million per year. It just seemed like a number pulled out of some grounding that I'm not familiar with, and I'd like to learn more, hear more about that. So that's just a whole range of discussion that I'd like to have or have the benefit of before I'm certainly asked to move forward with further ideas. So that's it, but very good start. It's just need a little more flesh.
Councilor Craddock.
Thank you. Well, you know, I'm sure pleased that you are moving, beginning the steps to get this program implemented. We have some opportunities now in the region. Our ability to recycle is really, our opportunities to recycle is diminishing. We're going backwards instead of forwards. And I hope that this program might help us be able to come closer to our recycling goals in the future, with working with private companies, nonprofits that might be able to develop some systems that allow us to better recycle. What I've heard is there's concern about the program. Just, I think it's not really, because it's not clear yet. I understand from how you describe this that the next steps will be really begin to flesh this out, and that what I've heard that there are not totally aware how these funds will be used, and I assume as Councillor Harrington was saying that some of that will be described in more detail, more so that it's the industry understands it better. But I like the opportunity to do this, and I think as we move forward, I think this really gives us some really good opportunities that we don't have now. So I wonder if you could give us a couple more examples of, so if a company comes forward, a nonprofit comes forward with an innovation that they're trying to accomplish, how might they also, though, include some of the diversity, equity, and inclusion, or equity strategy into that proposal? Do you have anything? Paul, you mentioned one opportunity or one example. Can you list
certain examples? Well, certainly, Councilor Craddock was abused. The company might choose to hire folks that are underprivileged, haven't had the same opportunities. Perhaps they're formerly incarcerated individuals. The company might choose to pay them a more living wage. It might choose to offer them more educational opportunities beyond what they're just doing, teaching them construction skills or other skills. Or it may have a program to move them into higher levels of responsibility and opportunity within the organization. Now, there are companies here today in the audience that do those kinds of things already. Those are fantastic. There are also companies that aren't doing those kinds of things. And part of our aspirations for diversity and inclusion is to create some of those opportunities for people that have historically not had that opportunity. It really gets to what Matt was saying earlier and what we've heard. The Solvay system has largely been viewed as a burden and having diminished the burden that it creates on certain communities. We don't think that's good enough. We think that the Solvay system should also be considered an opportunity, and how do people benefit from the job, training, education, or other opportunities that it might provide. So again, some of the businesses that are here today are doing those kinds of things. Some of them might need a little encouragement or incentive or help to start doing those sorts of things, and that's why we think this might help move them along that way. The commercial truck driver example is one that we just deal with every day in moving our waste to the landfill. And when I have reached out, we have a consultant that's starting to look at this problem. He has said in the African American community, that's not even viewed as a potential career. We don't even think about that. And so perhaps we could entertain a grant proposal that might encourage training or education in that kind of field. I don't know if we'll get one or not, but that's the kind of thing that we have been doing and that we've been hearing from others.
May I continue?
Sure.
The upcoming grants Metro's awarding in the planning department are now going. We're going to have some staff that will be they're available to support the applicant. And once the grant has been awarded, Metro staff will be available to help support the applicant in initiating the work that they've applied for, or the funds to do the work that they've applied for. Have you considered that, where a staff person might be working with either the nonprofit or the business to help them put their program in action and give them some, because some of the companies don't have that, don't have that expertise or even the time or the staff to be able to do that. So that might be one possibility. Is there any way that we can give support to either the nonprofit or the business to put their proposal in action after they're awarded the funds?
We've talked about a couple of related elements of that, maybe not specifically that element, and one is kind of up front and one is after the fact. The one up front, the thought was actually modeled on the work that the Metro Central Community Enhancement Grant Program has done, where staff assistance was provided during the application phase to assist those who aren't used to these kind of government grant processes to actually hopefully increase the pool of people eligible for that. That's worked very well with the grant program. And then the second thing is around the area of DEI. We recognize that there's, and I think that we didn't communicate clearly enough in the information that we provided to Councillor Harrington's point. I think staff sees it much as Councillor Harrington described, and that what we're trying to do is achieve better environmental outcomes associated with the solid waste system and advance DEI while we're doing that. And so that's what we're trying to achieve. And we recognize that there may be applications where the DEI connection is hard to see or hard to make, and yet it still scores high on the criteria and we want to do it. So maybe there's an opportunity for us to take some of the expertise that we and the groups with whom we work in the DEI field and offer that as assistance to the business, to just look at what this business does, look at what its business plan is, how might DEI fit in there. That's just part of a less specific opportunity to try and advance it in the solid waste sector through that kind of sharing of
like connecting a business with an organization or something.
With an organization, or perhaps we use one of the experts that Metro has worked with to have them available to help on our dime to help the business.
One more question.
Sure.
Regarding improving our recycling ability, you know, there's some of the, it's going to take some big ticket items, infrastructure that's going to have to be built before we can improve our recycling effort. How do you see we're going to move that forward? Obviously, these grants aren't large enough to really make a difference in that. So, are you already thinking about something that might be a public-private partnership with an organization where we might, in the future, be able to build something that has significant impact on recycling opportunities?
I think we're having those discussions with more urgency right now. And I think what we'll ultimately see is it's going to have to be a combination of strategies together. So public investment will be helpful. And I guess it's a good moment to say that this is a $3 million investment program. The ratepayers of the region already invest $350 million per year in our solid waste system. So this is innovation, opportunities, margins, new things, which is what this can do. So I think it's taking some of that $350 million that's already invested through what ratepayers pay, programs like this, policies. I think we may need some new state policies to encourage the type of actions we want to see, particularly stronger domestic markets, stronger Oregon markets for recyclables, and then some other regulatory and partnership type activities. I think it's going to take a mix to give us the recycling program that we actually want to see in 2030 and beyond.
May I add one element to that? We don't kid ourselves to think that we're going to change these large markets, international or otherwise. We do think that we can help existing and potential businesses that are here adjust to those market changes through a variety of grants. And so the Newburgh Mill closed 2 years ago, and that's what created significant changes to urban wood markets. We don't think we're going to reopen the Newburgh Mill. But perhaps we might be able to help companies that are managing those materials think about different ways of managing them, doing something different with those materials. And should we see a similar change in scrap plastic, paper, we're probably not going to influence China, but perhaps we can help the companies that are here find other things to do with those materials. So that's where I just want to be clear with our ambitions, given the size of our state and the amount of commerce that happens in our state. I don't want you to think that we're going to create these massive new markets where some don't exist right now. We're going to help people that are here adjust to the change in markets.
Councilor Chase.
Well, I do have a number of comments and related to kind of some ideas on fleshing things out, but I just want to start with saying, I really like what you're framing up here and what you're putting together, and I love the responsiveness to our DEI objectives and policies that we've really kind of launched, and responsiveness to that, and also to this changing market where we really do need this innovation and new ideas. And what I really like is the focus on the market, idea coming from the market and folks that are in the doable work, and so it's for-profit business and non-for-profit business. I like the overall framework, and I also like that you're bringing it to us at this point, at the 50,000 foot level, and you're asserting some specific idea, a little more specific where you think it makes sense, but you're not bringing it fully cooked to the point where it's hard to adjust or move the bar. So I want to recognize the transparency of you bringing it at this stage where, a lot of us, well, this needs to be worked out. This needs, well, of course it does. That's why you're bringing it to us and you want to get that input, now. And so, so thank you. I have some thoughts just around, starting with, Councillor Collette's questions about the budget. And so again, I see that you built in the process. We're going to get into the budget. We're going to get into the criteria. We'll have a chance to do those things. As we're thinking about the budget, which is less than 1% of the overall, so I understand that part. And so 3 million might be the right number. I think it would be helpful as we are doing the budget to get a little more. I'm sensing us wanting to get a little more sense about, how is the $3 million budget going to when you say a lot of folks are saying it's not enough, I think you might be talking about the $500,000 limit. I don't know if you're talking about the $3 million also. So I'm not, you know, the answer necessarily, but I think those are two separate issues, the overall budget and then the cost. And so there might be some need to go over $500,000 in certain cases. And there's a process for that where council is more engaged and there's larger requests, or there's some way to handle that, or there's some flexibility in the system that there's a really a great strategy moving forward that artificial limits ourselves may not be necessary. The criteria, I think there's just a lot to work out in terms of like how you actually select these, and so that developing the criteria is something I would look forward to. And then two kind of side comments on the driver's limitation and how you can, you know, when you talk about the issue of, you know, gosh, there's only so many drivers out there. So we need to grow the pool of drivers, and we need to get, you know, opportunity in front of folks from underserved communities or communities of color about these employment opportunities. Very similar to what we're doing on other work around women and minority business contracting, which is also limiting in terms of there's only so many folks out there that are qualified to do the jobs right now and certified. And so we're working towards apprenticeships and strategies with Work Systems Inc. on that, the C2P2 project, which you're familiar with. There may be some interesting connections there that can really kind of tackle a very similar problem. So we're working with electives that will help them do some of that outreach and bring people to the table to do some of that learning. And then the final thing I would just comment about is the 7-day notice that Councilor Harrington mentioned. I think that's an interesting point. We do get a lot of those. And I'm also thinking the sponsorships are the ones that are actually, you know, $500, $1,000. Yeah, I'd almost trade some of the larger, bigger decisions for the smaller ones, you know. So maybe there's some way to kind of manage our inbox.
They just need a better system working together. Yeah.
So there might be some system thinking, you know, generally about that. But I do, for example, with the top, I really do like having those 7-day notices. And even if I don't kind of call it up, at least give me a chance to go. And I use this opportunity to go and talk with folks and understand the project better as it's coming up. So I guess that's the conclusion of my one comment that had 5 different parts.
Councilor Stacey.
Thanks, Mr. President. There have been some great points made already. I'm not going to belabor them or repeat them. I'll say that I share Councilor Chase's enthusiasm for the objective and the program. I'm relieved to know that 3 million is less than 1% of, thanks for doing the math quicker than I was doing it, of the resources that are allocated to solid waste reduction and management. I'm also very mindful of Councilor Harrington's suggestions about the need for greater clarification and filling in the gaps. I like the proposal that we explicitly say this is a demonstration, a pilot, a first round, and that we reserve the right to refine and improve in the future. So that's very clear from the beginning. I'm also really excited about your bottom line and those next steps. Consideration of Metro Code amendments before the end of the year, which means you need to be back before Thanksgiving with an ordinance, you know, rational, realistic terms. So you've got a lot of work to do. And so I'd encourage you to take the input you've heard today and not say, oh, let's step back and rethink this. But say, let's finish thinking about it and bring it in as soon as reasonably you can put together a further proposal. Because I think we do want to keep moving in the direction of enhanced opportunity under our DEI principles and better service and better opportunity to recycle and reduce that this program represents. So I'm a hearty enthusiast for moving forward and doing so expeditiously.
So I would add my enthusiastic support for the program as I understand it now, and understanding that it needs to get fleshed out a little bit more. I think my, just in my reading of the materials that come across our desk, it's clear that the market has had serious dislocations in it recently, and you may not have seen the end of that, having a tremendous impact in terms of the way we recycle and what we recycle and how that's going to remain profitable for the for-profit companies that rely on that to go forward. That urgency, I think, ought to be applied to what we're talking about doing here too, because I think the two key things in terms of this program is we don't want to miss opportunities to react to that market change, those market changes, because we're waiting to make sure that the program is perfect as we implement it. Perfect is often the enemy of the good, and I don't think we ought to make it. I don't think we ought to have this be one of those projects that does that. I think it's important for us to have something in place. And then the other thing about it is, I think that what we have in place needs to have a level of flexibility to it, so that it can respond to a variety. I mean, your difficulty in terms of giving us specific plan, specific projects that would qualify as a good example, is not because you don't understand the system or you don't understand what's going on out there. It's because there is a range of things that could qualify under this grant program, which is the beauty of it from my perspective. So as we go forward and refine out some of the uncertainties, let's leave enough uncertainty so that the program retains that flexibility going forward. And I think in some respects, the only way that you can adjust that, and the only way that you'll be able to know how to do that, is to implement something and then test how it works. Which is, I think, the idea of a pilot is not a bad way of thinking of this. But and I think we're going to market it as our 1% for innovation program, because that it's not quite 1%, but maybe we can get it up.
Up to 1%.
Yeah, up to 1%.
I just would second the kind of expeditious, you know, component. And if it's pilot oriented and we can come back to it, then I think that allows us maybe some of that flexibility to move a little bit more quickly.
Good. Other questions, comments?
Yes.
Yes, Councillor Harrington, I didn't see your card up.
So the point I was trying to make hits on the comment you just made. The system that they're talking about is they proceed forward with Metro Code, and the PEZ director moves forward with authorizing these things, and we get 7-day notices. There isn't another step after that with us for us to review and reset rules like we do with the Todd strategic plan that we approve, that we do with the former CPDG 2040 planning and development grants. So that's the point. It's, you know, get us back into the loop of these things. So I'll just say it more clearly. At the same time, I am quite concerned about the level of non-disclosure that needs to be accomplished, right? I don't, for these private firms, we don't want to be putting them in a situation where they're having to publicly disclose their business plans. So there's a happy medium there. But I think it needs to be scoped out differently. And then the comment that I wanted to share that I didn't share earlier, I wanted to hear the scope of the full conversation, is I just want my colleagues to know that multiple Hillsborough City Councilors continue to articulate their home rule charter responsibility and questioning Metro's authority on all things solid waste related. So it's tiring to a person. I've been around the block before with my jurisdictions on solid waste, but every single solid waste roadmap item that we're dealing with right now, it comes up in councilor, mayor, councilor, or mayor conversations. So I expect
it. One city,
just the one city. Yep. So I just wanted to share that experience.
I think several of us shared that experience.
You probably shared that experience.
It's not a no. I started it.
So helpful.
Okay.
Yeah. Excuse me. May I sum up?
Why don't you?
And then just share. I think question one you can answer with the feedback, but I'd like to sum up and see what I have to say. You'd like more information about the budget. This proposal of $3 million per year for 3 years. Maybe right, may not be right, but you'd like more information about that, and we will do more work on that. Largely, it seems that we're on anything from an okay track to a great track, but you understand that we need more work about what we're trying to accomplish, what are some of the biggest problems that are out there, and some of the things we're going to do about them. If the problems are about processing capability, using materials, keeping materials out of landfills, materials such as wood waste or plastics, we need to spell more of that out. You would like us to use the word pilot in this, and you would also like us to set up some criteria that council will approve for how this will move forward. The 7-day notice system, if we were to adopt that, we need to recognize that it's also in several other places in Metro, and it can be confusing for you. So we will adopt 6-day notice system. you absolutely are interested in a committed annual report, and of course we believe that that's a good thing. You would just like to see more flesh on the bones, and want to ensure that we don't find ourselves in the business of appliance repair. You'd like us to describe in more detail how the funds will be used. And also, you've asked if we consider giving support to nonprofit or businesses, either upfront prior to a grant or after the fact, to help them. Again, that's one of those. We would like to work out program details for you as we sort of walk this line between coming to you with something that's completely vague or not vague, and give you the opportunity to shape it. You do seem to like the overall framework, and some of you like that it's not fully vague. You are looking forward to the criteria as we bring it to you. What you've encouraged us to do is to not sit back and then rethink this whole thing, but to finish our thinking mm-hmm. on this and to move forward and to do so expeditiously. You'd like us to apply the same urgency that we see outside of this building to the work that we're doing inside this building. And whatever we eventually bring to you to put in place should have a level of flexibility. It might be okay to leave a little uncertainty in this pilot, and then as we implement it, we adapt and we get smarter as the system changes and this program can change with it. And then the last comment I have is that you are concerned about businesses' need to not disclose certain pieces of information, and we want to be sensitive to that, and that actually is a piece of feedback that we received about the old proposal of many years ago, and why we actually gave up zero grants, because we had both a bureaucratic system and one that required almost complete disclosure, which worked for clearly no one. So we're trying to not repeat the mistakes of the past in doing this. So are there any major points that I missed?
Good summary.
And then may I ask, I believe that we have a good amount of guidance and suggestions from you that we should incorporate, and then we are prepared to move forward with a budget amendment and code change to reestablish this program unless you direct us otherwise. So, preponderance that we will work on. Is there anything else for us?
Nope.
Thank you.
Thank you. Council liaison updates and council communication. Council Dirksen.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have some good news to share. I know it's a shock. Earlier this month, the region reached a major air quality milestone.
On October 2nd, the region demonstrated 20 years without exceeding federal emissions limits of carbon monoxide. We were able to achieve this because of focused, dedicated work that the region has committed to in providing people with healthier transportation options. And as a result of that hard work and foresight, the region is in full attainment status at the federal level. As you may remember, in the 1970s and the early 1980s, we frequently had violations of the federal standard for carbon monoxide. And the biggest source of carbon monoxide pollution at the time was from cars. When federal legislation around air pollution became more strict in 1990, our region was actually required to develop a comprehensive air pollution mitigation strategy and adhere to it. The strategy was developed in partnership with DEQ. It relied upon a significant number of transportation and land use solutions, including building more light rail lines, investing in ways to make it easier for people to get around on bikes and to walk, and also committing to a land use system that reduces the amount of people who have to drive in order to live their daily lives. Now, we should be really proud of this accomplishment, as there are not a lot of other places in the country which have reached this 20-year milestone. And while this is a big achievement, our work isn't done. For the last 2 years, our average vehicle miles traveled per person has gone up, something that hasn't happened in a long time. And as we struggle with increased growth, we have to figure out how to make our transit system and walking and biking network continue to work for everybody in the region. And we have other pollution challenges to consider as well, like air toxics, diesel particulate, and greenhouse gas emissions that we also need to tackle. So I hope we can continue to work together with our partners in the region to make the same commitment and dedication that our predecessors did in the 80s and 90s to maintain the goals that we've attained. As the region's economy continues to grow, the goals of clean air and economic growth are related. We can make conscious decisions like those that were made in the 1990s to continue to commit to an improved transportation system and work collectively toward the overall success of our region. But kudos to that.
Okay. Other
yeah, yeah, some policy decisions and investment decisions.
I'm not seeing any tents go up, so I'm going to adjourn and go executive session under ORS 192.6602F to consider information or records that are exempt by law from public inspection, and 192.6602H to consult with counsel concerning the legal rights and duties of a public body with regard to current litigation or litigation likely to be filed.